This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Tired of losing power? Feeling powerless? Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a free estimate on a whole home standby generator. Never be without power again. Fully installed systems starting at just $99 a month. Power your sump pump, your fridge, your freezer, your garage doors, your heating and cooling, so your home stays safe and comfortable. Four Seasons is the largest and most award-winning Generac dealer in Illinois.
For the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Curry will be on the inbound. He's the most dangerous guy to get it back.
And he gets it out to Morant.
5 seconds.
5 second violation. They could not inbound.
5 seconds.
Oh my goodness. Calamity.
As only Kevin Harlan can on TNT. And that was one of the turning points of the game last night. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Warriors win. Kind of escape with a win against the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant was playing on an ankle injury at the end of the game. They couldn't get the ball in bounds when Memphis was down three, Pearl. They had more than ample time on the clock. That was like over 6 seconds. So Memphis could have gotten a shot off, could have gotten a look. They don't. Steph Curry was the closer last night in this game. They were only going as far as Steph was taking them last night. This is being billed as a Jimmy Butler game because I guess he was the high scorer by 1 point, and he had a very good game.
Jimmy Butler had 38 points, like 10 points higher than any game he's had on the Warriors.
And he had four in the fourth quarter where Steph scored like 13 of their last 16 points, was everything at the free throw line for them, and hitting back-to-back threes that were huge. And Steph, you heard in the highlight, he was even guarding the inbounds pass, and we don't even ever talk about Steph's defense, but that maybe had more to do with Memphis's coaching.
But you can't say you weren't blown away by Jimmy showing up here.
I was way more impressed with what Steph did down the stretch than what Jimmy Butler did, but that's kind of besides the point. Steph deserves the flowers today.
He's Steph Curry. The point is, I think that they're a whole new team and with Jimmy Butler. I mean, I think they're beyond exalted that Jimmy showed up like this.
Oh, no doubt.
He's not looked like that at all this year.
But two big turnovers in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Attempted two shots. I mean, didn't take a three. Had two, you know, made one shot. It just in the fourth quarter, this was Steph, and even Jimmy Butler said it, this was Steph playing Superman. I mean, he bailed their behinds out. Draymond Green fouled out.
No, Butler had 38 points. I'm looking at his life, 38 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals.
Yeah.
And all of this is like a season high.
I get it. And it was a 1-point game with seconds left on the clock.
Yeah.
And it would have actually been a lot worse for the Warriors if Steph Curry didn't come in and play absolute hero. Absolute hero. And so here's the thing about the game last night. Yeah. It's one game. I get it. Memphis and Golden State have a good history. It's fun. It gets chippy out there. All that stuff is awesome. I'm a little concerned here for the Warriors.
Mm.
I was somebody who thought they could really go on a run here. And again, you're right. Jimmy has been a great addition.
Well, Jimmy's never has not played like this. But yeah, if you get last night's Jimmy, then that's a great addition.
Right. He had a 30-point game in that Clippers overtime loss too. But that's It's a good addition. It is good. It's just they're going to go as far as Steph takes them. And you could say, well, that's not a bad way. Like, that's not a bad air quotes problem to have. But I'm a little concerned. You know, they let Memphis hang around in this game with Ja Morant hobbled. You're at home. This is a must win. It's a play, you know, must win. Not technically, but, you know, you want to advance here. You want to avoid playing OKC. And it was turnovers, and it was basically, again, Steph having to be the hero. And so I'm somebody who thought the Warriors could really go on a run here. I'm not taking that fully off the table, but a little concerned after last
night. So you have no belief in playoff Jimmy? That's not even a thing to you?
Playoff Jimmy is fine, but the game last night was playoff Steph. Like, playoff Jimmy was there for three quarters, but it's an NBA game. When it's a one-point game with seconds left on the clock, and this is under a minute, Draymond's been fouled out. He's long gone on the bench, and Jimmy was nowhere. This was Steph, and that's great. That's awesome. I'm just saying I found it interesting that the Warriors couldn't put the Grizzlies away a little bit quicker and more convincingly, considering Morant was hobbled and considering they got a new coach like a week ago. They're trying new lineups because of injuries. Like, they're experimenting out there, the Grizzlies. And the fact of the matter is they just couldn't get the inbounds, and that was really the difference, because if Desmond Bane has a clean look at a three, this is a totally different conversation we're having today.
Yeah, I would think coming into this, and I don't know for sure what the line was. I think the Rockets were probably a pick 'em yesterday before this. I think actually it might lean a little more Warriors, because I don't think everyone expected Jimmy Butler to do that. I mean,
did you honestly expect 35-year-old Jimmy Butler to get 38 points last night?
Well, kind of. I mean, this is the thing about these veteran players and, you know, playoff Jimmy, or, you know, guys who have, I know Jimmy's never won a title, but have like championship DNA, which the Warriors have. This is their time of year. You know, now you're going to, the Warriors are going to get a chance to rest. They are going to get a chance to kind of re-up, but, you know.
I mean, I still think they're figuring it all out, because Jimmy hasn't been there that long. I think there's enough positive signs that guy still exists. Like, I'm not sure they knew that was there. So I'm more excited about Jimmy Butler having sort of by mile the game of the season. So now they bring that into the Rockets, because otherwise they're going to have some problems with Houston.
No, I don't even know if they'd be here if they had not made the Butler trade. Like, so I'll give them that. No, this is way more exciting that the Warriors are here, that they're doing this, that Jimmy is turning it on. But I still feel like they're going as far as Steph is taking them. Again, I'm not saying that Jimmy can't be the closer for a game, but it just felt like that.
Yeah. I mean, here's the question. Do you think that this Warriors team, who I admit scared you last night, can take the Rockets?
I thought it'd be, nothing's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. I understand that. I was feeling a little more confident before last night. Again, it's one game, and it's Memphis came to play, and they would not go away, or the Warriors couldn't put them away. But it's going to have to be the Steph Curry and the guts and guile here, and more games like that from Jimmy for sure. It's going to have to be like neck up kind of stuff, like how they eventually won this game, which was Memphis couldn't get the ball in. You know, and in a crucial moment. So maybe they're smarter. Maybe they're, you know, they're way more seasoned. The moment's not going to be too big for them. And I think that's and Steph's ability to just be Superman at the end of games. I mean, the clutch shooting in the fourth quarter, it's not like he was, you know, he was getting some clean looks, but not a ton. They were on him. So
I'm going to go with my man, Todd Golden, Florida basketball coach. Points in the second quarter are worth as much as points in the fourth quarter. Okay. 2 points or 3 points is 3 points. So I don't totally agree with you denigrating what Jimmy did because he didn't show up in the fourth quarter. I think I don't know for sure, but I think the odds shifted more towards the Warriors last night, because I don't think we knew for sure that playoff Jimmy could be there. I didn't know. I've watched him this year. He looks slower. I mean, even last night he's not exactly blazing up and down the court. He's kind of, I love it. Kind of like, looks like LeBron. LeBron doesn't picking his spots. So I think this Warriors team, yes, it was nerve wracking last night, but I still think that they are significant favorites over Houston. Because Houston is, again, you just said it perfectly. Mentally, is Houston ready to knock out Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler? That is a tall task.
Yeah, and Draymond, although Draymond did foul out last night. Yeah, he only played 6 minutes in the fourth
quarter. Again, but how many playoff wins, and the young guys on Houston, how many playoff wins do they have? I know they have some older guys too, but I think that's, it looks kind of, I think mentally it's going to be a little daunting when you see Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler walk out there.
Yeah, no kidding. 888-710-4ISN. On to the Bay Area. Love to hear from you guys about how you're feeling about your Warriors. We're also welcome back to a little NBA playoff officiating. Oh, how we missed you guys. Everyone said when we watch college basketball, it's like, oh, you will love the NBA refs because college refs are so bad. Nah.
Not last night.
No, not last night. NBA refs still stink. 888-710-4ISN. Yeah, so that was a little bit about last night and the Warriors now. I'm curious, are you feeling better about them? Are you feeling a little dubious about the Dubs?
I'm the petty king.
What do you think, EJ?
I think the issue with the Rockets matchup is I don't think they play anything like the Grizzlies. So I think the question becomes, playoff Jimmy or play-in Jimmy, I guess, yeah, was yesterday. Can he do that against a team that's going to be way more athletic on the wings and way better defensively? Because like he's going up against smaller players. Desmond Bane is like 6'5", trying to guard him. He's strong, but he's short and slow. Like the Grizzlies didn't have a perfect match. By the end of the game, they tried to put Jaren Jackson on. They actually probably should have played him on him a lot earlier. They need to be able to have that same replicated effort, but you're going up against, you know, Cam Whitmore can jump out the gym, and Amen Thompson is one of the best defensive players in the NBA at only 20 years old. Like, they got some 6'7", 6'8", long, athletic, fast guys. And Perloff's talking about Jimmy looking at steps slow. Can he still do that against those younger athletic players and a much better defensive team in Houston, would be my question.
So wait, does Amen Thompson cover Curry? I was wondering about
That's the other question.
I think he does.
Well, so Fred VanVleet, they won a title with Fred VanVleet covering Stephen Curry in Toronto, right?
Well, something else big happened in that series.
Yeah, Kevin Durant got hurt.
I mean, that popped an Achilles.
Of course, but that wouldn't have changed the matchup. Like, Fred VanVleet, he was a big reason why they won that series. I know they talk about Kawhi all the time, and Kawhi was awesome, but his defense on Steph was great. And I would have think that the first step would be you put Fred VanVleet on Steph because of what he did in the finals way back in the day, and then you give Thompson, Jimmy Butler.
I mean, we're just not ignoring the big story will be Dylan Brooks and Draymond Green trying to elicit technical fouls out of each other. That is going to be wild.
He's another good defender.
Dylan Brooks could cover Jimmy Butler,
absolutely,
too. I think Draymond's going to try and get him kicked out of the series. I guarantee
Draymond
that's
happening. Draymond could get himself kicked out of the series. Backfires on Draymond constantly.
That's NBA playoffs for the last 15 years. Is Draymond going to get kicked out or not? But Dylan Brooks is right behind him. I mean, he will. Yeah, this is there are some great matchups in that series. I just think I'm going to skew old. You saw it last night. Old helps.
Old
in this
help.
Situation. Like, Curry's been there 150 times.
I mean, him guarding the inbounds and really disrupting, again, what should have been Memphis's final last gasp. I mean, they were only down by three. They had over almost 7 seconds. No timeouts, but, like, you're an NBA team. Like, you have this play drawn up, right? Right, Memphis?
Steph is the reason why you got to feel good about the Warriors. Like, that game, maybe not so much because it was so close. But
Steph was amazing.
It feels like when the games are close, somehow his clutch shooting has gotten better in recent years. Like, that was kind of a little bit of a little knock on him. He's a great shooter, but he doesn't have a lot of game winners, a lot of, like, you know, closeout kind of shots. Now I feel like fourth quarters, he doesn't miss.
No.
And he doesn't seem to make bad decisions either, too. So that would scare me if I was Houston, is can you match what you saw in that fourth quarter? That's where Golden State has a massive advantage.
This is a blistering hot take that Steph Curry's awesome. Like, wow. I can't believe, who is this young kid out of Davidson emerging on the scene?
I'm just saying, with four titles.
Rings.
I just think that this is being touted as like Jimmy Butler's back. It's like that.
It's Adele's brother?
Jimmy Butler at the game of the year. I
think EJ's right. I don't think he could do that against Houston. If he could do what he did last night. I mean, also, too, there's something funny about Memphis, and the defense was not great last night. I can't quite figure out, like, why isn't Memphis a better defensive team?
I don't know. Look at new coach.
Missing one of the best defenders, Jalen Wells, remember, broke his wrist.
Yeah.
Flagrant foul, so that hurt him.
This Steph Curry guy, I know, news at 11, that he's amazing.
So, you guys are saying that Steph Curry hitting threes at the end of the game is a secret weapon for the Warriors?
I'm just saying Jimmy disappeared in the fourth quarter, and this is being called the Jimmy game. Steph saved everybody's tush. Everyone's.
Steph Curry, the former Toronto native?
What's that?
He is from Toronto.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh, no, he's born Del in Cleveland, there? Though. Wasn't he born in Cleveland? Yeah, where, born same hospital as LeBron?
Yeah, Dell played with the Raptors for a little bit, so he grew up in Toronto.
Oh, but he's Carolina. Well, he'd fight you over there.
His wife is Canadian.
Yeah.
But wasn't
he born in the same hospital as LeBron?
He was born in Akron, yes. In the same
amazing.
Hospital.
This little kid from Akron came out of nowhere and hit a bunch of threes last night, and it wasn't LeBron.
Northeast Ohio.
Who could have ever thought? 888-710-4ISN. Good morning, Warrior fans. How are you feeling about this last night? We have a lot to get to, including tons of NFL draft intel and an interesting quote that is getting a lot of blowback from Travis Hunter, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, about playing offense and defense when he gets to the NFL, wherever he goes. 888-710-4ISN. Does he deserve the blowback for this comment? We'll get into that as well. It's M&P. Good morning.
I'm the petty king.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I think I've been pretty consistent, Maggie. There is several draft players I love, but there's one that I love above all others, and that's Travis Hunter. I would do anything if I was any team in the top 10 to get that dude, except for the Titans need a quarterback. So they take Cam Ward, but after that, I would trade up to number two. Like, I think he is the truth at any position, and I would play him 60 minutes a game until he totally collapses.
Yeah, I know. You have like no thought about whether or not his body will break down. You have no concern about, you know, the acclimation to the NFL. Like, there's no worries for you. You're like, let's play 40 snaps on both sides of the ball and let's go.
I heard Deion Sanders talking about how the pace of the NFL is so much slower than college. Like, it'll be easy for Travis Hunter. He's going to get bored playing one way. I can't even imagine. Why would you have him sitting on the bench? He's going to be like Deion. You couldn't play against Deion because if you threw the ball just 5 feet off, he's going to pick it off and run it back for a touchdown. Travis Hunter is Deion 2.0, but a much better receiver than Deion.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Travis Hunter won, you know, both, not just the Heisman, but won the college award as the best wide receiver in the country and also the best defensive players. I get that, but Deion Sanders didn't play offense like Travis Hunter plays offense.
You mean as far as durability-wise?
Yes, just the pure amount of snaps that he's playing. He led Colorado in touchdown receptions last year.
Deion played baseball later in the day. Deion did plenty of stuff.
No, he did, but different, right? Different, not football snaps. Not more football snaps. Deion had cool packages for him on offense. It was awesome. And he's one of the greatest football players ever.
Punt returner I've ever seen in my life.
No doubt. But so here's the comment that Travis Hunter made to CBS Sports last week, where he was asked, so this is not to him volunteering the information. I do want to be clear about that. He was asked if an NFL team told him it would only allow him to play either wide receiver or corner, Hunter's response was, then I'm never playing football again. Because I've been doing it my whole life, and I love being on the football field. I feel like I could dominate on each side of the ball, so I really enjoy doing it. Just different, and I get that. But here's the thing. To think that there is going to be no grace period, warm-up period, welcome to the NFL moment, getting used to this, that's insanity.
Well, he's
every
playing on a bad team.
He has that.
But you have to, the caveat, he's not on a playoff team. He's going to go to a bad team. So you don't need that warm up period. Just throw him in there because the team doesn't have a lot of great players.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I don't know if it's because if it's not about the playoffs the first year, if he goes to the Browns or whatever,
Giants,
a team that's Patriots. Not going to be expected to do a lot, then you have to make it even more, I think, about the individual development. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing that could possibly happen is the guy gets hurt right away, and then he's sitting on the sidelines, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that he can't get hurt playing five snaps. You can get hurt playing one snap. I get that. You don't want to play scared. But to throw him into, you know, this crazy, unprecedented schedule, like, you don't think other guys in the NFL want to be on the field all the time?
No,
of course they do.
No, I don't think anybody wants to do this except Travis Hunter. I don't think there's a single player in the entire NFL who wants to play every snap of the game. I mean, yeah, there are probably some guys who want to line up on offense, like especially the linemen. They love that to get in. But I don't think other people. No, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. He's Shohei. He is Shohei Ohtani of football.
Yeah, but nobody is barreling into Shohei, you know, at full speed and trying to take out his knees.
Well, honestly, throwing a 102-mile-an-hour fastball is more dangerous than anything Travis Hunter is going to do. Travis Hunter, wide receiver and cornerback, you can probably protect those positions a little bit. One thing you have to tell Travis Hunter is I do not want you tackling on run plays. Just keep your nose out of that.
You're not telling him anything. He's doing. See, this is the other part too, and I know I'm going to get blowback for this. And I just want to make it very clear that I appreciate the confidence that Travis Hunter is showing, and I'm excited to watch him, and I'm rooting for him because I want to see how this goes. We would criticize other draft picks for being this me first. What happened to whatever the team needs? How about that? Like, that's what the stock answer usually is.
Wait, offense or defense,
whatever they want me to do. I'm a rookie. I'm coming in here to learn. Not if I can't play both ways, I'll quit. Like, I get he's saying he would rather, like, it's a desire, it's a need. He feels like he can handle it. And I love the confidence, but we would criticize other players for having this, like, me over the team kind of aspect.
So this guy wants to play every snap, and that's a me first move?
Yes.
I think a me over the team is Jay Cutler sitting on the bench saying, I'm not going in for the Chicago Bears.
That's a different type.
This is the opposite. He's saying, I want to help the team on every single play of the game. If it was up to him, I'll bet you'd go out special teams. This is the ultimate team move.
Okay, but here's the thing. You don't even know if you can handle this. So if you're out there, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, if you're out there getting cooked on one side of the ball, are you really helping?
Well, no, that's not accurate for Travis Hunter. It wouldn't even cross his mind that he would be cooked on one side of the ball. He thinks he's the best cornerback and the best wide receiver, and that's the mentality you need for those positions. And not only that, you act as if we didn't just have last season as evidence. Like, college football projects into the NFL. That's how we do this thing. I mean, and again, you were all on board Travis Hunter in college. Why?
Picked him to win the Heisman and won some money. I appreciate Travis.
What's the difference? You're saying the NFL is just bigger and stronger, but we have to project everybody from the college to the pro level. I mean, Cam Ward, he's going to go against much better defenses, but we're not worried about him. So I think that I think that this is misplaced worry because Travis Hunter is generational.
That's fine.
Ridiculous.
But he's going to have a career that's more than just his rookie season. And so the idea that, like, I'm going to shoot out of the gate here and I'm going to be the greatest thing that this league has ever seen, which is kind of what he's saying.
Yes.
And I can do this thing that nobody's done. I do want to see it, but I'm not expecting it week one against, who are they? I don't even know the Browns. We don't even know yet who they're going to play week one. Whatever. I don't need to see a week one against Pittsburgh or whoever they're going to, you know, start the season off with.
Oh, man.
To think you're coming out here. I don't want to play if I can't do both sides of the ball. Who is you? He's awesome. He's the Heisman winner, and I love him. But wouldn't we be saying that about anyone else who's never played an NFL snap?
I guess so. But, you know, it's a little bit of this Deion thing too. He's basically lived with Deion, has connected him. Like, he's not going to be your normal guy. He's going to be super flashy and brash. That's what you want out of your cornerback and your wide receiver. Sure. That is probably the most important thing, is confidence. So I love it. And I love every interview with him. He's hysterical.
No, I know.
He's an incredible personality. Yes, he might be a little loose around the corners. I remember that was an issue with his girlfriend. I thought he can be sensitive. Mm-hmm. They were going after his girlfriend on social media, and it really bothered him, which I get.
Yeah.
But he's a lot, but I think you're talking about wide receiver and cornerback. I think you want flash there, especially if you're Cleveland and New York, teams that have had nothing to be excited about for a long time.
I'm talking about 1 of 53. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm, again,
yeah, yeah,
I'm
but
excited.
He's 2 of 53.
Okay.
He's not 1 of 53.
Even 2 of 53, because he's not talking about, this is not being, you know, unless he's really singing a different tune behind the scenes, this is not what I would want him saying to the general managers or the coaches, right?
I would. I honestly, he's good enough. He doesn't have to. Don't go to a team where they're going to play you one way if you don't want to play
one
way.
He's already good enough that he could, that if Kevin Stefanski says we want you just as a wide receiver, that he would be like, go screw?
He'd be like, pass on me, I'll go to New York. Yeah, he should definitely. I think more draft guys should do this. Go to the right situation for you. Absolutely. The draft is so unfair anyway.
Yeah, I understand that. But we'll leave that for another day.
Yeah,
but Kevin Stefanski could be protecting him. That could be the best thing for him, as opposed to someone else throw him out there and be like, all right, play 60 snaps in a game, and then we'll see you in, you know, year two.
I think this is what I, if Travis Hunter should call Cleveland and say, are you going to play me one way? And if they say yes, then say, please pass on me and let me go to New York. Or, and then as same, New York says the same thing, then go to New England. If New England says the same thing, go to Jacksonville. Honestly, if
are,
that's
are
what you really want.
Are you generally okay with rookies calling their shots in this way?
Absolutely. I think more should do it in the draft. And I think quarterbacks should really do it. Like, they should not. Like, I think Shador is doing this low-key in the background, too. Like, I think you got to get to the right team. No, why would you want to go? You want to play these positions. Why would you go to a team that doesn't want you to play these positions? It would make no sense.
It's called development. Like, here's the thing. It, say a quarterback does this. They're like, I want to play my rookie year no matter what. What if Patrick Mahomes had said that? If you're not playing me the first year in Kansas City, pass on me, right? And you know what? He might not have been better off for it. Maybe he has the same career, and maybe he's one of the GOATs, and that would be fine. Or maybe that first year where he got to sit behind Alex Smith and learn from Andy Reid actually set him up to have, like, you don't know.
Well,
development
okay.
comes in a lot of different ways. Just getting thrown out there week one to try to do something unprecedented doesn't necessarily mean you're going to all of a sudden be an overnight success.
What if you're a linebacker who wants to rush the passer because you know that's where the glory is, and the team drafts you and says, we're going to put you off the ball, and you're stuck there, and you never get to be a star? Would you rather hold out three spots and go somewhere else? I think players should have, first of all, should have every right to dictate what position they want to. Yes, you should communicate to the team, I want to play this position. I'm not going to be happy. Like, say it now. It's better to say it now than say it 2 weeks after they draft him. And by the way, I can't believe you want to see Shohei Ohtani play both ways. We argue about this all the time.
I do.
But you don't want to see Travis Hunter play both ways?
No.
And he's a cornerback. Just, you know, get in there. Just run around a little bit. Just don't tackle anyone. You'll be fine.
I love cornerback is basically picking daisies. Like,
He's 100 yards from the snap. Back there. Just make him play safety, actually, where he's just going to try and get awesome interceptions.
I mean, Shohei's the worst example you could actually bring up because he gets hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And the second one is, I'm talking about right out of the gate. This is what he's saying. You have not played a preseason snap yet. It's going to be different playing from Colorado to the pros. Do I think he's going to adjust? Mm-hmm. Sure. But you know what? It might take a minute. And if a coach says, you're not ready to play both ways, I don't know if I need Travis Hunter being like, well, then I'm going to quit or whatever.
No, that's
I don't know if he's going to actually say that.
But I like him saying it earlier. Also, too, if he is sitting there on the sideline and they're losing to Pittsburgh and he's not in the game, he's going to explode.
Well,
so, and
he might have to
because
manage
he knows,
that.
He knows he can help the team win. I don't think this is anti-team. I think he's saying, I want to be the leader. You know, and I think, honestly, it's his best quality that he wants to be out there. Like, he's just a dog. I mean, he is going to come after you.
I get that, and I do appreciate that, and I want guys who care more than care less. I just think there's a lot of guys in the NFL like that. I don't think everyone's mailing it in and coming in for the paycheck. Dudes want to play. And everyone thinks they're the best player ever because this is the delusion that you need to be a professional athlete. Whether you're the last guy in the practice squad or you're the star, you think you're the best ever.
He has a little evidence to support that, though. He was the number one wide receiver in the country, and he was the number one defensive back in the country. It's not like some experimental thing. He's like, wow, I was really good in practice at this position.
Listen.
Dude has evidence on tape.
Okay, and you know what? There's been a lot of guys great in college, and it took them a minute. What was Marvin Harrison Jr.'s season last year? He was the best wide receiver. Maybe you could have said Malik Nabers. Best wide receiver in college football. Went to a bad team. Didn't go that awesome. Needs a little development. Yeah. That's like not a crime.
Yeah. He should have said, don't draft me, Arizona. Send me somewhere else.
Too late.
But I think Travis Hunter is a better player than Marvin Harrison. I think because of his mentality.
But the point remains, right?
No. I understand. I don't understand your point. So what's your point? So Marvin Harrison had a bad year, so Travis Hunter should be like, all right, you're right, manage my career. Why? The Cardinals aren't doing anything good for Marvin Harrison.
I'm just saying everyone thought Marvin Harrison, because of his college career, was going to walk on the field and dominate.
Right.
What happened? He had a mediocre year.
Yeah, he was on a mediocre offense, a mediocre team. Right.
And where do you think Travis Hunter's going? He's going to the greatest show on turf? No way.
Yeah, that's my point. So he's got to be, unlike Marvin Harrison, he's got to be like, you could better target me 8 times a game like Malik Nabers. Do not bury me and give the ball to James Conner 100 times in a row. He's got to be like, I need the ball in my hand. I'm going to lead you to victory. That's what he's thinking. You know he is. He wants that ball every play, all snaps, both sides.
They all do.
Real team guy over there, Perloff.
Well, you say they all do.
They all do.
Not since Jim Thorpe has anyone wanted to do this.
Who?
So you say they all do.
No, they all
there's
want
no one
the
else
ball.
Like this.
They all want the ball.
Right, but I don't see Marvin Harrison being like, man, it's a really close game against the Seahawks. Can you pop me in at free safety? That is not happening.
JT is in Atlanta. JT, good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, and it's funny because Perloff has never heard a take that he didn't disagree with. And I don't know when he's actually trolling and when he really means what he's saying.
He means
I just don't know. But I think what's going on with this whole Travis Hunter thing is he's turning into that friend that you try to give good advice to, and they're just like, no. And you're like, okay, well, when it happens, I'm going to tell you I told you so, right? and I think that's where a lot of people are going to get to, where they're actually somewhat rooting against him. Oh. Because it's like, listen, this is, you can't – people are trying to tell you it's not going to be what you think it is, but you got this whole thing in your head, and you know more than everybody else. Like, you can't be so much smarter. You haven't even experienced this, so how do you even know?
So wait, JT, I just want to get – you're saying I'm being contrarian by saying Travis Hunter is a player that people want. He's going to be the number one selling jersey in the NFL. He's going to be – the draft is going to be a Travis Hunter party. Everybody loves Travis Hunter. I think you guys are misreading who this guy is. I think he's going to be a bolt of electricity for the NFL.
Well, again, and that's fine and dandy, but that has nothing to do with performance on the field. And I think that's what everybody's talking about. Like, you know, like Maggie was saying, is like everybody had this. I mean, in draft boards, we all play fantasy. What's in it? Marvin Harris was like he was in the top 10 because everybody just knew he was can't miss, and he missed. So to think that Travis Hunter is definitely, you're talking about as a cornerback, he's not a better receiver than Marvin Harris was.
He's not as good as Marvin Harris.
I've been watching a lot of Shador highlights, and there is a monster on the other end. I mean, there are jump balls where I think he's probably better than Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm being dead serious. He is really, really good.
My question is this, like the meetings. You have to go to meetings for these groupings, right? And how do you attend?
That's an issue.
That's what John Harbaugh said. Yeah. JT, it's a fair question. It's a fair question. And thanks for making the point.
No problem.
Thank you. Didn't mean to cut you off there. It's a fair point. How are you going to go to meetings?
Yeah.
Right? And John Harbaugh said there's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah. But I'm going to be like people who treat football like it's rocket science. Just go out there and ball out. That's what I tell them. Play with instinct. Yeah, listen, you're right. I do
just
think
go
you
freelance
can make,
out there. I mean,
yeah,
maybe
real Bill Walsh over there.
You're telling me Dion was sitting in meetings?
Yes.
Dude was getting on a plane and playing baseball.
No, I know, but when Jimmy Johnson says you got to be in a meeting, I'm sure he's there.
No, I am not sure about that at all. I think he was.
Okay, but what if he's not Deion Sanders?
How can you say he's not Deion Sanders?
Because there are a million cornerbacks that have come out of the draft, and we've said this guy is the next Deion Sanders.
Like, name
not.
One who's been like this guy, who's won the Heisman.
There have been cornerbacks that have been drafted in the top three.
Who's a cornerback who's won the Heisman since Charles Woodson?
There's not been a corner, but Deion didn't win a Heisman. What does that mean?
How can you argue this guy is the closest we've seen to Deion Sanders since Deion Sanders?
I think the point, though, is that I think what you're walking into potentially is he may go to the NFL next year, just like Marvin Harrison did, where a lot of people said he was a top five receiver in college. He can walk into the NFL next year, and he might be just good. He might not be terrible, he might not be bad, but he might not be this dominant player immediately. So if we're going to walk down that line, do you want a guy who's only good telling you I'm going to quit? If I don't get my way, that's a little extreme.
I want this guy.
You know, if he's average, you're not going to want him.
By the way, Marvin Harrison, a big function that was, they did not target him enough.
Well, honestly, I don't know about that, but here's the thing. That's fine. But Travis isn't walking into the Kansas City Chiefs either.
Right.
You know, he's going to be walking into an organization where you have coaches actively on the hot seat, most likely.
But you just said, like, you should trust the team. I was thinking, you should trust the Browns or the Giants to develop you?
Listen, then you might as well just say, I want to coach the team, too. I'm going to be player coach.
Yes, or bring Deion in. Like, yes, I think all those apply to those two particular teams.
Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got headlines. Keep the Travis Hunter calls coming. We see you guys on the phones. We see you disagree with me. You're with Perloff. The Travis Hunter should be supported, so hang around to make your point. Bogues, what's up, dude?
Good morning, guys. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com.
I don't like them.
The dude to my left will nod knowingly. Trae Young ejected from last night's play-in loss in Orlando for, quote, making a mockery of the game. Those are the words of referee James Williams.
Gray's floater in the lane is good. 107-87. And now a technical foul going to be called on Trey. So Trey gets the technical. I don't blame him. And now he's been thrown out of the game.
That's Steve Holman on Hawks Radio, the guy who has so much fun when Jalen Brunson's getting in trouble.
Brunson complaining to the official. Who do you know? I'm Jalen Brunson.
Last night, though, no such snark. Trey scored, as you heard, then threw a fairly hard chest pass at James Williams in frustration with some calls.
Why didn't Steve keep the same energy?
That was the first tech. The second came when Trey intercepted Williams' pass to his colleagues down the floor and wouldn't give the ball back.
Sometimes I take my frustration on the refs, not just for me, it's for my teammates. Like, if you see a foul, you should call the foul. And that's pretty much all it was for me.
For the record, the Hawks shot 7 more free throws than the Magic last night, but they lost this game 120-95. So the Magic are the 7th seed and will face the Celtics in round 1. Trey and the Hawks go home to host the Bulls or Heat on Friday for the 8th spot.
Can we give a shout out to Cole Anthony, who is a dedicated client of Dr. Rock Positano, friend of the show.
Oh.
He wears the same old man ankle brace I do.
The same.
Yes.
And he looks the same on the court.
Why aren't you playing for the Magic then?
Well, by the way, where did that come from last night with Cole Anthony? He just single-handedly destroyed the Hawks. That was fun.
Catholic High School, New York City.
Yeah, I know.
Craig Anthony's son.
Archbishop Malloy.
Yeah, he was. That came out of nowhere. Like, playoff Cole, let's go.
Orlando's fun.
Yeah,
they're going to get slaughtered by the Celtics, but they're fun.
Bill Simmons says they're dangerous.
They're not going to shoot enough threes. We can get into that.
Slaughtered was a little aggressive.
All right, I'm sorry.
Bill Simmons says that's the one matchup we didn't want in the first round.
Bill Simmons says that.
Yeah, I mean, who else for the Celtics? What are we going to turn to? Tommy Heinsohn? He's not around anymore.
What's Paul Pierce thing?
It's where you guys began the show. The Warriors advancing out west, holding off the Grizzlies in San Francisco, 121-116. Steph and Jimmy combining for 75 points. Jeez. Tonight's Kings-Mavs winner plays an elimination game in Memphis on Friday. The San Diego Padres have finally lost at home.
Swing and a line drive, and that's a base hit out into right center field. Swanson's going to score. Nico's going to head to third. Watch him run. On his way, and he's got himself a triple. 2-1 Cubs.
We can't watch him run. We're on the radio. Boog Sciambi on the Marquee Sports Network. Nico Hoerner, a tie-breaking RBI triple, top 10. The Cubs, a 2-1 win, dropping the Padres to 11-1 at Petco. The Cubs also stopped the Dodgers' 7-0 home start. No team before had ended multiple perfect home starts that long.
Oh, Cubs are the best team in baseball then.
Manny, back to you.
Manny, was that in our ear or over the air?
No, it was all over the air.
Okay.
That happened to him.
Sometimes it's confused a little bit by Manny's comments.
Pushing the wrong buttons. 888-710-4ISN. Bogus, thank you. All right, Travis Hunter. Do you like the comments of him saying, if a coach said, a team said, you can only play one way, offense or defense, his answer was, I'd quit football. Do you like what you hear from Travis Hunter? 888-710-4476. Perloff does. I do not. Let's get it going. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
I'm just different.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Travis Hunter's got us all riled up this morning because he told CBS Sports, when asked, by the way, didn't volunteer this, but when asked if a NFL team told him he could only play wide receiver or corner, he said, well, then it's never playing football again is the choice. Just take my ball and go home. Now, obviously, I don't think he's really going to get held to that. But we're asking you, is that a team-first mentality or is that a me-first mentality? You know, you want to play both sides of the ball. You've never played a snap in the NFL, but you want to play both sides of the ball because you did it in college, despite what a team may think. Or, Pearl, off your point, is this the ultimate team-first mentality because you want to be out there trying to impact the game no matter what?
If a quarterback, like say Arch Manning comes in the draft next year and says, I don't want to go to the team that's number one, is that a team, like that's not being team-first, but still I think players have every right to dictate their future. This is their future. You get one NFL career. I think every player should have the right to sort of write his own script. I don't think you should. You should say it right now. I want to play both ways. Don't draft me if you want to play me one way. I'll be miserable. I think it's better to say it now than after the draft.
Yeah, I just, how does the player know that's necessarily the best thing for him? 888-710, or that you can't grow into that role. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get to Anthony. He's in Boise. Anthony, you love this from Travis Hunter.
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me. I want to say go BSU Broncos. But, yeah, I think it's a positive that and I believe that it's both a team-first and a me-first mentality and that it's a good thing because, as Andrew was saying yesterday, you want a receiver to be kind of a diva and a me-first player, but then you want to, you also want a player out there on defense that's, you know, going to go out and do everything he can to win the game.
Right. So here's, Anthony, good points, but here's my thing. I'm okay, like you, I'm okay with wide receivers having some diva in them.
Yeah.
If they've earned it. You want to be A.J. Brown, you want to be T.O., you want to be Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, all Stephon Diggs from the team I root for when he played for the Bills. I'll back you up because you've been that good.
Go Bills.
Travis Hunter, we haven't seen playing a snap yet. If he actually is the second coming of Deion and he makes good on this, play every snap, return every punt, I'm all for it. I'm just not for it when I haven't seen you do jack squat at this level yet.
Well, I would just say that you kind of need that diva mentality as a wide receiver. You need utmost confidence. Confidence, confidence. Give me the ball. You know how hard it is to run around and catch a ball coming at you 90 miles an hour? You have to have so much belief in yourself. You can't wait to earn it. You have to have that belief to start with. And I think the great ones certainly do. So I think it's more of a mentality, especially a receiver. Now, cornerback's a little different, but quarterback's also a confidence position.
No doubt. And corner can be hard to adjust to in the NFL.
Some of these team issues we're talking about, I think, are different at these two positions. You know, you don't want your linebacker to be all about, hey, give me the ball. But I think corner and wide receiver, it's an exception.
Let's go to Joe. He's in San Francisco. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, I think Travis Hunter's a little small. And I think he needs some development time. And I don't think he spaces receivers on defense like, you know, Tyreek Hill or Ayuk or somebody like that. So it'll take a while for him to get up to speed. So if they're going to get his overall potential, they probably might have to bring him along slow because he's not that big.
Right. Joe, thank you for the call. 6'1", 185 is what he was listed at.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had some injury issues, not this season, but last season when he was at Colorado and even going back to Jackson State. So there obviously is a, you know, some thought there. 6'1", 185, I don't see that as being like, wow, he's really undersized, but...
Well, yeah, I totally understand the point. But if he's taking on those extra plays, right? We saw him walking at the Super Bowl. I don't know. He walked right in front of our set. That dude's muscles got muscles. He is jacked. I mean, he's skinny, but he's all muscle. So, it's, you know, 6 foot, 6'1", 190-ish. That's fine for a receiver. What do you think Devontae Smith weighs? He's 170.
He's particularly slight.
I mean, Malik Nabers last year does not weigh a lot. There are a lot. You can definitely succeed a wide receiver. I think that is a valid point. Is he too small for the wear and tear of both sides? I will give you, like, I'm not dismissing that as an issue.
Well, and the other part is how much, let's say you're like, all right, well, you know, he can put on some weight. He can pack on some pounds. How much do you want to do that, though? Because speed is such a huge part of your game, too, that you don't want to put on too much weight and then it takes, you lose a half step.
No, he's built perfectly for either position. I don't think you want to get... I think you need the speed. He's built perfectly for a cornerback. He's fine. He doesn't need to put on size for that. I think he's one of those... I think he reminds me a little of a Devontae Smith type. Just, you know, they're super, super skinny, but for some reason, they're super tough. And
but you would never look at Devontae Smith, who also won the Heisman,
and
say you should also be playing corner.
No, but he's a little bigger than Devontae. I think he's, 20 pounds bigger?
Well, Devontae has said is that he's particularly
he's on the low side,
slim Reaper.
There are a lot of great receivers who are not big. Trying to think. Well, like, Tyreek Hill's pretty big.
Julian Edelman.
Yeah, Mike Gurus is rather large.
How big is Antonio Brown? He's not that big.
Justin Jefferson, what is Justin Jefferson weigh? 205, probably?
Listen, I'm worried more about the defense than the offense.
Yeah, but you got to tell him not to tackle. I agree with that. But he can cover, though, at that size.
Covering is fine. Cornerback's fine. It's just the tackling. If he has to tackle somebody like Derrick Henry or someone like that.
I love that. Oh, gosh. I love that in Perloff's like ultimate scenario here of Travis Hunter. He walks in day one demanding to play both sides of the ball. But if the coach says you can't tackle, he's like, all right, cool. I'll take. But I'm going to kick down the door of your office and tell you I need to be on both sides of the ball playing offense and defense. But if you tell me not to tackle, I'm like, all right, coach. Yeah, whatever you say.
Most cornerbacks do not tackle. I mean, that's like not everybody's Jalen Ramsey. And Travis Hunter, unfortunately, if you watch a Colorado game, oh, my God, did he try and blow guys up left and right.
I know.
Because he's strong.
But I don't think he can play another way.
Yeah, I think cornerbacks, I mean, I don't know. I'm not looking at tape. Does Patrick Surtain tackle anybody? Is he tackling Derrick Henry?
I mean, Revis was an awesome tackler.
Yeah. Awesome. I just think that generally, I don't think that's your concern, a quarterback. You're only in there, and you might only put him in pass downs too, where Derrick Henry's not going to be. You know, I would think you wouldn't have Travis Hunter in there on first down.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. That is the number to call. So we're asking you the question today. Travis Hunter saying, if I can't play on both sides of the ball, I would quit football. Is that a team-first move or is that a me-first move? And we had a call earlier saying, JT in Atlanta, saying that he's starting to root against Travis Hunter. I'm curious if anyone else is, you know, we follow this stuff extremely closely because it's our job. Yeah. Not expecting everyone out there to be living and dying on every Travis Hunter quote. But he's coming in real confident. Not that you would expect anything less. Is it starting to be a bit of a turnoff, though, with the I'm going to come in and be great right away type?
Well, I mean, I think kids will love this, right? I think he'll be the number one selling jersey by far, I would imagine. I think this is like brashness. That sells.
Got to back it up, though. 888-710-4ISN. There's nothing worse than a guy who's out there bragging and can't cash the check that his mouth is writing, right? And I don't know if that's going to be the case with Travis Hunter, but again, we haven't seen it yet. Nothing.